Gate of Carnality, tape number 33,000. Now we're dealing with the old nature and the new nature. We're dealing with being in captivity, and now through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the new nature that he has given us through the Holy Spirit, we're dealing with creating, the Bible says, a clean heart and renewing a right spirit within us. It's very important to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do inside of you. You never can obtain any type of relationship with man, or let me back up. You never can reduce the relationship with the devil until first you increase the relationship with one another. Then you'll increase your relationship with God. Because God's word said, how could you say that you love me whom you haven't seen and you don't love your brother whom you see? Now, the Bible said God gave us power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy. So it's very important that we not be afraid that we have power to cast out the devil. Say it with me, ladies and gentlemen. We have power to cast out the devil. Now, it's very important that we walk in the love of God, because love never fails. The Bible said love never fails. And sometimes we're going to be going through situations where we're going to be struggling how to love someone, and we're not going to know how to do it because of carnality. Now, carnality, I looked it up, and I was struggling with some things, and I wanted to say something to some people, and I didn't know how to say it, and I didn't know what was going on, but God began to deal with me about being carnal. He said, Brian, to be carnal is death. We wonder why we get sick, we go broke, and it's because of carnality, because we allow the nature of the world to control us. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the Bible said through this divine nature, the Bible said we could obtain anything through Christ. All things were given to us through life and godliness. So the more that the new nature of God grows in us, it produces a force called life. Life is a force. Life is a gate. The Bible said broad is the gate of destruction, and many go there. But straight and narrow is the gate that leads into life, and few there be that find it. So we know that life is what everybody's looking for, life and love. But we also know that death, seduction, witchcraft will suck you in to bondage and into captivity. So we want to study this morning three levels. And the ultimate goal is to walk in the grace of God. Our ultimate goal is to walk in grace with one another. The Bible said, if your ways please the Lord, God gives you favor with God and man. And so what we must do this morning is examine our life, our relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with the devil. Amen. The Bible said you should not have a relationship with the devil. The Bible said you should, listen to this. The Bible said you shouldn't even have a relationship with the world. The Bible said you're in the world, but you're not of this world. The Bible said you are a pilgrim and you're passing through. But what happens is some elements of the world try to get us because of finances. Now, the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil, and many people perish after it. So we know that the love of money will be a gate that will try to steal the life that Jesus put on the earth to get you closer to the Father. Because life is a gate to draw you closer to God. So we know that the love of money will be a gate to draw you closer to the devil. So we have to know how to gauge money. We have to know how to gauge relationships. Because relationships can either take you closer to the devil or closer to God. I know some people that I hang out with that I know right now that when I get around them, I get closer to the devil. Amen. Now, what is the devil? Strife. What is the devil? Bitterness. What is the devil? Confusion. Confusion. What is God? Love. Peace. Unity. So you can always tell what's coming out of a person's heart by the atmosphere of the words. Check that out. The atmosphere of the words will either make you hellish or heavenly. God said, walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is our ultimate goal, for our name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life and for us to walk in heavenly places. You cannot walk in heavenly places unless it's in Christ Jesus. Many people try to get up there through praying to a saint, through praying to Mary. They try to pray to Buddha. They try to pray to Muhammad. But you cannot get there unless you pray in Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get up to the Father but by me. So we know that in everything that you do, you have to gauge it in Christ. Say, gauge it in Christ. Now, this morning, I want to go to 1 John 1:9. It's very important that we deal with this situation. And also, I want to read some of the text from the Amplified Scripture, because the Amplified, I was reading in the Hebrew and the Greek last night and this morning, and God was showing me how the Amplified begin to make it more clear. Now in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So number one, it's very important for us to be cleansed from unrighteousness. Amen? Now look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Say all sin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, to know what sin is, we got to know how sin gets in. This is like one person, I heard them when I was praying, they cried out the word gluttony. Well, I know some people, they can eat a lot of food, they never get fat. But I know I can look at bread and I'll gain 3 pounds. I can just look at it. Now, why? Because bread has an element in it called yeast that makes you fat. You understand what I'm saying? And so what we got to do when we look at sin, we got to know how sin gets in. Because you can look at sin and don't even bother you. But it's when it gets in, it bothers. Amen? See, if you never partake of sin, it won't get in. You can look at bread till the cows come home. Bread ain't going to make you fat until you what? Eat it. Huh? So sin, the devil's trying to tell you to partake in sin without eating it. Because you see, the devil knows if you imagine sin, you've ate it. That's what he told the woman at the tree. He told Eve, he said, don't you know? If you eat that tree, you'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. The key to his words were to make her imagine evil. If they cannot make, that the devil cannot make you imagine it, you'll never partake of it. First thing he's going to try to do is he's going to try to discredit me. The first thing the devil's going to do is try to discredit you to me. He got to make you think, oh, don't trust them. Don't trust them. Why is he telling me not to trust you or you not to trust me? Because he knows where there's trust, there's unity. There's unity. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, where there's trust, there's unity. So anytime the devil tells you not to trust me or me not to trust you, that's a lying spirit. The devil has seductively come into the church and used a spirit to divide us through whispering lies to us. And we'll listen quickly. Like a lot of people tell me about other people, but I don't say nothing until I ride down on them. And if I ride down on them and they're doing what I think they're doing or what somebody else told me they were doing, then I know if they're lying or not, right? The Bible said, test the spirit. How do you test the spirit? Wait on God. Wait on the Lord, and the Lord will reveal to you exactly what those people are doing, and then he'll manifest it. You see? Now, some people do things out of loneliness. Some people do things out of desperation. Like the Bible says, David said, don't give me too little that I'll steal, and don't give me too much that I'll leave you, God. Because some people get too much of God or too much blessings, you won't see him in church no more. Hello? And if you pay them too little, they'll steal out of the church. Folks stealing toilet tissue. Wonder why we ain't got no tissue. Folks got it in their pocketbook. I'm serious. Stealing tissue out of the church. Amen. I remember I used to, this is gospel truth. We was real poor. And we used to go to this one church. And I remember the Lord, I used to steal out of the women's purses. I ain't gonna lie, I'll tell you the truth. But the Lord whooped me. One time I was playing football at the church. I broke this arm in half. And I had to get 2 pins in it. Amen. And another thing God allowed the devil to do to me, I got stung in my eye with a bee. Because God told me, stop stealing out of them women's purses. But I was slick, see, because I was like the singer. Renee will tell you, I was a singer. I was the number one singer there, right? So I was, they didn't know that I was down in the basement stealing. But God knew. And what God began to show me is people steal time. You know, stealing time is just like stealing money. Amen. If you're paid to do a job and you don't do it, you are a thief. God said to me, he said, Brian, do you want to get all your prayers answered? I said, yes. He said, first of all, get rid of carnality. Now, I'm going to read to you what carnality is. First of all, it is not fear. It's not condemnation. God will spank you if you're out of order. If you continue to sin, like if you're sleeping with a woman and you know you ain't got no business sleeping with that woman because you know you need to be married. Hello. And well, you done already slipped. And you know the pastor been preaching on fornication and you're still doing it. Hello. And then the Lord keeps saying, now you need to stop, but you're still doing it. Now, when judgment comes, you're going to wonder why God allowed this to happen to me. Because you was out of the blood covering. You was walking in carnality. See, the Bible says, go with me to Romans 8:6. And I was seeking God about the way people talk to me. Like this one lady, she kept saying, Brother Brian. My name is Apostle Brian. It ain't Brother Brian. Amen. I'd rather you just call me Brian. Because when people call me brother, I wonder what their motive is. You ever heard somebody say, hey, brother? They usually want to borrow some money. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, now the mind of the flesh, which is the sense and the reason elements, without the Holy Spirit. Say, without the Holy Spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy, what is the Holy Spirit? Who knows what the Holy Spirit is in this room? Okay. Praise the Lord. What is the Holy Spirit, Brian? No. What's the Holy Spirit? No. It's the Spirit of God, but it's more than that. It's, yep, but it's more than that. Nope. What does it say in 3 John? It says there are 3 that bear record in heaven. That's what the Holy Spirit is. See, if I said to you, I got 3 assistant pastors. Watch. So if I'm not here, who are you supposed to listen to? What? Talk to me and say it louder. But if I say Holy Spirit, you hear what she said? It's the comforter. He said it's the healer. The Holy Spirit is the one you're supposed to reverence here on earth. It's the reverence part of God. It's like the police officer of God. See, a lot of people want the benefits of the Holy Spirit, but they don't want the relationship and the reverence of the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh, spaghetti-o. You see the difference? If I said to you, Pastor Barry was a good golfer. You say, wow, he's a good golfer. But I said also Pastor Barry was a police officer. But he can be going the golf field, and we all golfing, right? Having a good time, right? But if you smoke a joint of weed, what is the police officer supposed to say? You going to jail. You see, he's still on the job because he's a police officer. On duty or off duty. You get it? And that's what the Holy Spirit is. But sometimes we walk around in this carnal mind and we say, uh-oh, Holy Spirit is off today. He took a day off. Holy Spirit don't take days off. And that is the part of you that will cause the church to fall, or me. If I don't give up carnality or allow God to purge me from carnality, I will never be a holy, righteous pastor. Do you see what I'm saying? I will never walk in the true love of God because carnality continues to control the Holy Spirit in me. Do you know the Bible said carnality wars against the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit wars. It's in a war. It's not. The Holy Spirit ain't sitting down talking to your old nature saying, hi, how are you? It don't talk like that. It's in a war. The Holy Spirit is in a war to control your body so you don't burn and go to hell. Hello? The Holy Spirit, his job is to keep you pure and holy and in the fire, in the glory of God's presence. And if you pull away, the Bible said, grieve not, quench not, resist not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to fill you. You see, a lot of people think they got the Holy Ghost, but they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I was telling God, I said, I don't even think I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I can speak in tongues, but to be full with the Holy Ghost, you are totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. And nobody in this room can put their hand up and say that yet. Totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants you to be. That's the journey we're on. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? In Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh, which is the sense and reasonability without the Holy Spirit, is death. So when you don't have the Holy Spirit fighting on the inside of you against your old nature, the old nature, the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That means that the old nature wants to kill you. Is that powerful? The old nature wants to kill you. The old nature wants you to displease God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many people are Christians in this room? Raise your hand. Mostly everybody, right? Now, let me ask you another question. I know you didn't raise your hand. It's all right. I still got you. Still got your number. What is a Christian? You believe? No. Somebody who's Christ-like? No. You close. You close. What does a Christian mean? Huh? Nope. To be like Jesus. Say it louder, sister. To be what? You see, if I said to you, Barry goes golfing sometime. But if I said to you, Chuma can beat Tiger Woods, you'd know what that meant. That he has a better ability than Tiger Woods, right? You see, words are powerful. But if I said, Barry goes golfing sometime, you'd say, oh, he ain't that good. But if I said, Samuel is just like Jesus, you say, wow, I want to listen to Samuel, right? If I said Renee can pray just like Jesus, you would know that she has a prayer life just like Jesus. So watch your words, how you say words. Words are powerful. See, if you said to me, I want to get my prayers answered, I will know you will never get your prayers answered. Because you want it. You want it. You're never going to get nothing for wanting something. But if you said, I'm going to pray on this altar until God answers me, I'm going to pay attention to you. Because you're the kind of person that you're diligent. See, if you want something, you got to be diligent. And you have to have the character with the diligence. Hello? See, a lot of people want something from God, but they don't have the character. You have to have character. Like the sister said, you got to be just like Jesus. Amen? How many people in this room want to be just like Jesus? That's the only way you can get into heaven. It's very important. We have to be just like Jesus. Now, God is trying to destroy death. He's trying to destroy the plots of the devil. Also, he's trying to set you apart. And I think this is the hardest thing for all of us to do, to be set apart from worldly people. People that we used to know, people that we loved. But these people are deceitful. I know this guy, and I will mention no names, but I've known him for a long time, but he's deceitful when it comes to money. He cannot be trusted with money. He's deceitful. See, you have to, in order for God to give you money, you have to be trusted with money. A lot of times you pray for money, God don't give it to you because can you really be trusted? Hello? If you cannot be trusted over 10% of your income, God sure ain't going to give you $1 million. Hello? Some of y'all, you don't even pay your tithes and offerings. And you wonder why you broke. Examine the way you pay your tithes from your paycheck. And also examine the intentions the way you give it. Because a lot of people put their money in the church, but they don't give it with the right heart. Examine yourself the way you come to church. Do you come here saying, you know what, I'm going to look for somebody to put my arms around and hug them? Or you come here, well, I got to go to church. Thing to do on Sunday. Like a lot of people get dressed up on Easter, but inside their heart, they don't got the right motives. They didn't even know what Easter is all about. Easter is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when they come to church, they come to hear a nice message, but they didn't come to change. When you accepted Jesus, you didn't accept Jesus to be a lily white Christian. You accepted Jesus because you said, I want to change. Hello? When you said, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, you said, there's something wrong with me. And you said, I need Jesus to come inside of my heart, and I want to be like Jesus. Now, to be like Jesus means that you're willing to suffer. Because everybody, oh, I should say that, no, thank you, Lord. Nobody is perfect but in Christ. I don't know if you was born perfect, but I know I wasn't. I was born far from perfect. Far from perfect. I don't know how far from the tree you was born, but I know I wasn't even born in the tree. They had me down in the woods somewhere. How far was you? How far did you? Oh, Jesus. Thank you. So I got a witness in the audience. That's my girl. So God is dealing with timing. Because when I was putting needles in my arm shooting dope, I wasn't thinking about Jesus. I was in the church stealing out of the women's pocketbook. I wasn't thinking about Jesus. You ain't ever did nothing like that. I know y'all are all angels in this room. God gave me angels to preach to. That's a privilege, to preach to angels. People that had never committed sin. Perfect beings. Wow. I just see the glory of the Lord all in y'all. What a privilege it is to preach to apostles and prophets and prophetess and evangelists. You get what I'm saying? We need to realize where we're at. And you know what we need to do? Everybody today need to go out and buy a tablet. And we need to write in this tablet, what do we think concerning money when it comes to God? And then go in the scripture and find all the places in the Bible that talks about money. What do we think about when it comes to fear or lust or anger or malice, revenge? Oh, that's a good one, revenge. What do we think about personally without the Bible? Shut the Bible for a minute and say, what do I think right now about revenge if somebody does me wrong? Because that's the real you. Then go to the scripture and find out what the scripture says about revenge. It says in the scripture to forgive. Now, forgiveness is not remembering that they did it to you. Forgiveness is like they never did it to you. I think he was the only one listening. So you see how carnality has a safety deposit box. Carnality will say, keep that memory in the safety deposit, because if she do it again, I got some more to use against her. But being in Christ, you don't even see it no more. See, I done told him to sit down 4 or 5 times. They can get up 4 or 5 times. I got to forgive them like they never did it. You see, when I begin to sit down and teach my little kids the Bible, then I begin to understand what church is all about. You know what church is about, ladies and gentlemen? It's about all of us sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening like little children. Jesus wants to be your best friend. But the first thing we got to do, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to do this as your friend. I'm your friend. I'm going to share with you. I think the greatest gift that I can share as a friend is know your purpose in Christ. Know what God told you to do. Don't try to do something somebody else is doing. Do what God told you to do, because if you do what God told you to do, you will excel. And I'm going to tell you, people will know you all over the world, because the Bible says it in Deuteronomy 28, that all nations will call you blessed because you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. See, hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God gets rid of carnality. Go to Romans 7:14. Now listen, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, carnal, unspiritual, having been sold into slavery under the control of sin. So as I was praying last night, I got up around 1 o'clock in the morning. I just put the kids to bed. You know, they was fighting with me for 3 hours to go to sleep, y'all. Them little rascals got energy. I can imagine how I was when I was 2 and 4. Renee, I was a wild man, y'all. I was skinny like little Abraham too, y'all. I was like a drink of water. But I was a terror, y'all. All the things I used to get into. I remember I pinched this girl's behind. It was funny. She was an older girl. I liked her. And it was funny because she didn't like me, right? So I got around her real fast and I pinched her behind. That girl started running after me. And I ran around a corner. Y'all wouldn't believe this. I ran around this corner and the woman almost had me, man. She was gonna kick my butt, right? She was older than me. She was older. I was a little guy, man. And all of a sudden, I dove into a pool of glass. I came home that day full of blood. My mother was like, boy, what'd you do? I had so many cuts on me. Oh, Betty. She hit me. I blamed her. But the things we get ourselves into, right? How many people have got themselves into some situations you know you don't want to be there? How many people got themselves in some situations right now you need to get out? Oh, 2, 3, 4. Judy, be quiet. 5. See, Judy talking about me. That's all right, Judy. I'll pay you back. I love Judy. So you know that the law is spiritual. Say the law is spiritual. So we know that we're not spiritual without Jesus. No church can, if you come to this church for 20 years, it's not going to make you spiritual. The Bible does not make you spiritual. I know a lot of people read the Bible and they are not spiritual. And the Bible never made me spiritual. Watch. It is the Holy Spirit that makes you spiritual. It is the Holy Spirit that takes the Bible and makes you like Christ. But if you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, you're going to have big time pride, big time arrogance, and no love. That's why I've noticed, I've been around so many people the last 6 months that cannot get along. You know why they can't get along? Because they don't got the Holy Spirit leading them and controlling them. They know the Bible. They love Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is not in control of their life. They're still controlled by the old nature. Because it doesn't matter who is full of the devil. Cast it out of them. Sometimes I just like to get away from some people because in the Bible it says there's false brethren. They creep into, the Bible says, silly women's houses laden with sins. And then some brothers try to sleep with people's wives. The Bible says, don't, to be carnal, let's go there for a minute. Go to Leviticus 18:20. And God began to show me, I was studying what the word carnal means. Leviticus 18:20. Thank God that's never been my weakness to sleep with somebody's wife or try to. I always respected marriage. Even when I wasn't a Christian, God knows, I never thought about doing that. Leviticus 18:20. And if a man lies carnally with a woman who is a slave betrothed to a husband. So when you are a wife, you are his slave. Well, the Bible said, I didn't say it. Don't throw nothing at me, ladies. Be quiet, Barry. And not yet ransomed, don't say nothing to your wife tonight, or given her freedom, they shall be punished after investigation. Who's investigating you? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the policeman here on earth. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. You see that? Watch this. Go to Leviticus 19:20. Oh, I just told y'all that, didn't I? Oh, see? Go to 19:20. Oh, that's what I did? I read 19:20. Now let me read 18:20. I knew I read something different. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Verse 21. Listen to the good one too. You shall not give any of your children to pass through the fire and sacrifice them to Molech, the fire god, nor shall you profane the name of your God by giving it to false gods. I am the Lord. Listen, you shall not lie with a man as with a woman. Uh-oh, spaghetti-o. Ain't that about homosexuality, lesbianism? It is an abomination. Neither shall you lie with any beast and defile yourself with it. Neither shall any woman yield herself to a beast to lie with it. It is confusion, perversion, and degradedly carnal. Say carnal. And if you look at the world today, this is the stuff that's on the internet. Amen. And a lot of people don't know that the church is involved with perversion. And a lot of people have no, that's why the Bible said to fast and to pray. It's very important to fast and pray because when you fast and pray, God will begin to make you have a pure heart like a child. Amen. Because as you grow older, the devil tries to pervert your mind. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, go there with me, 2 Corinthians 10. Some of y'all need to memorize this chapter too. Say, memorize this chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible for a reason. Now, I beseech you, brethren, beseech you, my gentleness and consideration of Christ himself, I am lowly enough to say that when among you face to face, but bold, fearless, outspoken to you when I am absent from you. I entreat you when I come to you that I may not be driven to such boldness as I intend to show toward those few who suspect us of acting according to the flesh. Now, Paul, if go back, ladies and gentlemen, and get a Bible concordance, and all through the writings of Paul, he deals with people who were carnal-minded. One of the scriptures talks about an older married woman sleeping with a younger man. And it tells the younger man that Paul had to turn him over to the destruction of the flesh so his spirit would be saved. It's right in the book. So it talks about carnality, because the Bible said the bed is undefiled. God is calling us back to holiness. Amen. And God is calling us to love our wife. I don't care if she's 300 pounds, 400 pounds, you still got to love her. She's sending her Jenny Craig. Amen. I was 300. I just stopped eating. You don't need Jenny Craig. Just stop eating. Amen. Shoot, I was going to the restaurant eating 3 and 4 chopped ham legs and lamb legs. Amen. And it caught up with me. Amen. I went from a size 34 to a 42. And I wanted some more to eat. Say, I want some more to eat. And pretty soon, the Lord said, stop eating. That's all you got to do. Say, stop eating. If you want to lose weight, just stop eating. Hello? Don't be jealous of somebody else because they got a skinny figure and you don't. Y'all know y'all jealous of me. I done lost all kind of weight. Y'all jealous because I'm skinny. I'm going to get like Joshua. Slam. I'm going to have to get these suits away or take them up. Y'all ever seen a fat man with tooken up suits? It looked like it's wrapped around like that. I got to keep y'all laughing, man. Y'all get too serious. God. Laughter is good. Say, laughter is medicine. I sit up in my house, read the Bible, and bust out laughing. Just be laughing. I'll be feeling good. Laughter is a medicine. Some of y'all need to laugh some more. Just smack yourself real good. Go like a psh. Amen. Laughter is a medicine. Now watch. According to the flesh, God said flesh. Flesh, on the low level of worldly motives, as if invested with only human powers. Listen, verse 3. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using near human weapons. Weapons of sense knowledge, strife, anger, malice, bitterness. We're not using that. Listen, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of the flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. This is what we should be doing toward one another, overthrowing the strongholds and the spells of witchcraft the devil has put on us. Some people in this room have spells of witchcraft that need to be broken, hereditary. You wonder why you can't stop sinning. Do you know that television is a demon? If you sit up and watch soap operas 4 or 5 hours a day, you got a problem. You wonder why you can't pay your bills and you watching as the stomach turns. You wonder why you're broke and can't pay your bill and you sitting up there. The Bible said a lazy man ain't going to get nothing from God. So you cannot be lazy and blame God you can't pay your bills. You got to go out and get a job. Amen. And then you got to pay your tithes. If you want God to bless you, you got to pay 10% to God. And then when you, before you give it, you're going to have to pray. Because, see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. You're going to have to pray and get rid of all the garbage inside of you when you pray. See, a lot of people pray, but they got a bunch of confusion in their head. God was showing me today, he said, son, the devil has stepped up his attack against you. You're going to have to pray 3 hours a day. You're going to have to pray until you got the peace, until the light comes. This morning when I woke up at 5 this morning, I began to pray, and the light came shining through my window. And the Lord said, that's the light I'm talking about. You have to be so full of the light that you can overcome every obstacle of the devil. See, you're not my enemy, and I'm not your enemy. The devil is our enemy. Say that, the devil is our enemy. And once we understand what the devil is, then we can win. Go to Romans 15:27. They were pleased to do it, and surely they are not in debt to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their, the Jerusalem Jews' spiritual blessings, they that ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When I therefore I have completed this mission and have delivered it to them at Jerusalem, what has been raised, I shall go on by the way of you to Spain. Now here goes he's telling them about interacting with people. Sometimes when we interact with people, our motives, what is our motives for any interacting with people? And so when we write down, okay, think of a person you like, write down. The Lord told me this morning. What do you like about that person? Write it down. What do you dislike about that person? Write it down. The things you dislike about that person, you're supposed to pray for them. Uh-oh. There's some things that bothers me about Barry. Amen. There's some things that bothers me about you too, Mike. Amen. Watch. There's some things bothers Mike about me. Amen. One of them is being late. And it matters. Listen to this. Lately, I've been on time. And Mike is like, whoa, this guy's, amen. Same thing about Barry. There's probably some things Barry don't like about me. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to intercede for one another because we are one another's body. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's what the devil tries to do, is divide us. You know, the Bible said we're supposed to have long suffering. Long suffering. And that's what God began to show me, the three levels of carnality. The first thing, you have to identify who you are before you came to Christ. And then you recognize you're in Christ, but you're recognizing that you're going to have to redo all the ground of your heart to bear the fruits of the Spirit so you can walk in the love of God. Because if you don't have no fruits of the Spirit, you're not going to be able to walk in the grace of God. Before you say something to anybody, check the fruit before you give it. You see, your words, I've noticed personally, I've been under severe attack about what I say and how I say it. Because God wants us to say it in a graceful manner. Now, we're going to make mistakes. Hopefully, people will forgive us. But see, God is holding you accountable. Because we're supposed to be expressing the Holy Spirit. When we talk and when we interact with people, we're supposed to be expressing the fruits of the Spirit. Expressing. That's why Jesus, I learned this today when I was praying, Jesus began to say, Brian, he said, I was under attack when I was here on earth. And so I had to continue to go off by myself and pray to comfort my own emotions. Because nobody knew what Jesus was going through inside. A lot of people don't even know what you're going through inside you. They don't know your struggles and your issues and your burdens and your weaknesses and your frustrations. They don't know because they don't care, because they're struggling with their own. Only few people have conquered the challenge of mastering their emotions and the fruits of the Spirit. Because you almost have to be like a monk. You know what I'm saying? To be able to separate yourself and to go quietly and let the Lord repair this inner Man, because so many people are pulling from us. You got your boss pulling from you. You got your husband, your wife, your kids pulling. You got the devil pulling. You got God pulling too. Oh, Jesus, you got God pulling. And God trying to pull up the bad stuff. He's like, oh, Lord. Huh? Then you got your baby. He 2 years old. He pulling. Daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy. Then you got demonic powers pulling at you. Talking about get angry, blow up, give up. So many times the devil be telling me to give up. I be saying, man, what am I going to give up to? I ain't got nowhere to go. Basically, I'm talking about me. I can't go nowhere, y'all. I can't go back to the world. The Lord delivered me from shooting drugs. I can't go back. The devil, man, he mad at me. I've been putting a lot of lumps of sugar on the devil's head. He mad. I don't know if he mad at y'all. But once you get the devil mad at you, you cannot go back. So don't think you just going to go back and be friends with the devil. I'm like, hey, devil, what's up? I done backslid. Can we hang out again? Devil going to just look at you. I mean, I remember this dope dealer I used to buy dope from. And I owed him some money, and I went back telling him I was a Christian and I wasn't going to buy no dope no more. As long as he had me in bondage, huh? But then when I went and told him I was a Christian, I must have thought he was going to be happy for me. That's like going to the liquor store and you done had a big bill because you done took credit from the liquor store. And you go back to the liquor store, man, talking about, hey, praise the Lord, I done found Jesus. He talking about, where your food stamp at? All he want is your money. Sometimes we go into people that have no integrity, no reality of who Jesus is, and we're trying to make friends with them, knowing that these people are earthly, sensual, and devilish. How the hell are we going to try to get these people to love us when these people got the devil inside of them? That's what God showed me this morning. He said, Brian, you're trying to get people to love you. They ain't even saved yet. He said, you barely saved. That's right. The Bible said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. I looked at that this morning. So don't make you think, I don't care who you are, bishop, apostle, priests. You see what happened to all them Catholic priests. Now, and you look at my message 4 months ago on perversion, and right after then, the whole Catholic Church became under scrutiny on child molestation. You better watch my words. Go get the tape. And I preached on molestation and perversion when that little girl, Danielle, got killed. Right after then, right before then, I was preaching on that. And right after then, the whole Catholic Church, what did they say, 7,000 children in the last 10 years? Now they say Colonel Mahoney of L.A., a young girl, has come. She was 5. These people are not born again. And you have to understand that this is what our world, Satan, has strategic. You know, this woman was saying something to me, and I never saw it like that. She was telling me about the Antichrist. And I don't think totally God had revealed to her totally what he was saying, but I noticed that we got to be careful being Antichrist. You know what I'm trying to say? As if to say, we're at work and we don't want to pray. Or we're in the grocery store and we see somebody that's hurting, but we see everybody else in the grocery store and we know we could pray for that person, but we are anti, we don't want to pray in front of everybody. Y'all ain't never been like that, have you? You see, Antichrist doesn't mean you don't love Jesus. It just means that some areas in your heart you have not surrendered yet. And one of them is submitting to authority. Hi, Bubby. It's very important, I've learned, that it's an art to submit to authority. Now, I want to share something with you. I want to read some things on grace. Go with me to 1 John. Go with me to 1 John. I want to get this into your spirit. I think I should read. Now, 1 John speaks a lot about being saved. Check this out. In the beginning, reading from the wrong text. 1 John, not John. 1 John. It's all the way in the back before Revelation. Okay. After Peter. Okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God is going to hold you accountable for the word of life. What are we seeing when we read the Bible? Is the Holy Spirit creating a vision of heaven? Or are you just reading it in a logo state? If you read the Bible in a logo state, you'll never get nothing out of it. But if you read it in a rhema state, faith will increase. Encouragement, peace, joy, healing, gratefulness. You'll be grateful that God has brought you into his family. Goodness. You begin to think good thoughts toward people that you hated before. You begin to have self-control where you wanted to go off on somebody. Who said who? Okay. My buddy back here. I think that's a good thing to say. That's right. You'd be like a fairy, right? You'd be like that. You're just loving people. Say, what's wrong with Brother Brian? He done lost his mind. I'm weird. That's all right. Y'all call me gay all you want. But I got peace of mind in Jesus. How you doing, Brother Brian? I'm just happy. See, you got to lose yourself in Christ. Some of y'all are so afraid of what people are going to say about you if you act a fool for Jesus. They already know I'm a fool. So it really don't matter what people think about me. You have to lose yourself in Christ. Stop worrying about what people are going to think about you. Do you know people are going to judge you for the rest of your life? Even if you were perfect, even if you were just the most loving, the most caring, the most honest person, people are still going to perceive you different. So if you try to please man instead of God, you always going to fall. Uh-oh. The main thing tonight is to please God. But pleasing God is loving your neighbor. Because the Bible said, if you say that you've seen God, if you say you love God whom you haven't seen and not love your neighbor whom you've seen, how can you say the love of God is in you? I'm out of time. This broadcast has been a blessing to you. Call right now, 619-239-9281. Let's bow our heads and pray in the presence of God. You by television, around the world, and you in the audience. The main thing this morning is that we get closer to Jesus. Lately, God has been dealing with me about the presence of healing, the presence of deliverance, the presence of reconciliation. God wants to bring the church back to unity.